He told me to send his greetings to y'all and to let you know that they are breaking ground on the print shop in South Africa there. And if you follow him, how many of y'all follow him on Facebook? Anybody in here use Facebook? Alrighty. If you folks that use Facebook see the updates from us or from my parents, please pass along to the other folks in the church. I know my dad uses that better than I do for communication. I hate technology, but it's part of life. But they had to level the ground for the print shop, and they had to drop one corner of it 2.5 feet. And when they were just looking at it from just eyeballing it, it didn't look that bad. But then they had to level it, and so they've been doing that this week. And then once they get that finished up, they'll be able to start working on the foundation. And it's a blessing. I tell you this because you might think this, well, why are you saying this about my father and mom? You know, that's not your ministry. It isn't our ministry, but they're my parents, number one. Y'all support them. And that print shop is going to supply gospel tracts and John and Romans and anything scripture that they print, we're going to be able to get from them easier when we need it. So it's a huge blessing. How many of y'all helped my dad a few years ago moving the scripture and stuff around in the storage unit here in Milford? Anybody in here do that? Help my parents? I don't know. I know Pastor did. But I tell you what, we were able to get some of those scriptures, and it was a blessing when we went down to visit them. And just have God's word, it's a blessing. Now, I want to just give you a quick shout out. Stop by the back there, grab a prayer card if you haven't gotten one yet. I don't know if we had these last time we came through earlier this year. I think they were still in the process of being made. We had the ones that didn't have the back, but then now we have the ones that have the back on there, and love to get that into your hands and be able to have you pray for us as well. Now, let me get my pictures up here. I can't do two things at once. I told my wife I am not a woman, so I cannot multitask. So when I look down and do something, my mouth is closed unless I'm reading the scripture or reading a book. But all right, I think the pictures are up there or will be soon. And we've been in Uganda for 2.5 years now, and excited to see what God's doing. The first year or so, really, we were working on the language study. In Uganda, they use English as their trade language, but the local tribal language in our area is Luganda, and it's a good help to learn the language so you can understand the culture with folks. And it's hard to win people to the Lord and truly fully explain the gospel unless you understand if they understand what you're saying. So it's imperative that you learn the language, whether you're going to speak it in preaching or not. With trade language being English, we use English King James Bibles for church, and we speak in English. If there's a need for a translator, someone will translate for us into Luganda or Swahili, depending on who's there and who needs that assistance. But it's a blessing because we don't have to go in and really fully learn the language to be able to preach it. I'm Lord willing, when we get to some of those villages, I'm planning on being able to preach in Luganda if God will allow me to. But until then, we'll just keep using English. But the first slide here is our prayer card. The second slide is the contact information there. And please do stop by and grab a prayer card and keep in touch. Those of you all that are on Facebook, we're on Facebook as well. Go on whenever you can. Find us at Seth and Jen Demarest on Facebook there. And we'd love to be able to keep in touch that way. The third slide there is the city of Kampala, where God has called us to. This is a city of 6.5 million souls in Kampala. Beautiful tropical environment. This is where I grew up as a kid. And I just fell in love with the country as a kid. All the missionaries would come through, and they would go to other parts of Uganda, like Mbarara or Masaka or up north and different places. And I was like, why weren't the people staying in Kampala? Most of the population of Uganda is around the capital, and God just led them elsewhere. Either that or they were chickens, and they didn't want to be around all the denominations and religions in the capital and the traffic. Everybody hates the traffic there, and I hate the traffic too, but it's the way it goes where God calls you. The next slide here is a map version of the city of Kampala. This would represent 6.5 million souls, and these dots here are the independent Baptist churches that have been started in the capital. The bottom right-hand side is the Busabala Trading Center. That's where we're praying. We're praying about starting the church, and we've been soul winning and have started the church there in Busabala. And it's exciting to see what God's doing. Each one of these churches are a representation of 4 or 5 places where the gospel is being preached. If you look on the map, you can find hundreds of churches all over Kampala. but only the independent Baptists are preaching the gospel clearly and presenting the salvation of the Bible. The Southern Baptists are there, but their salvation is very watered down. And with the culture mixed in with that, you can talk to someone and say, oh, this person's saved. They talk the talk, they walk the walk, but they have no idea about, they're really what it boils down to is they're placing their faith in work salvation. Because you can ask them, you say, hey, are you going to go to heaven? Yeah, I'm going to heaven. Why? Because I put my faith in Christ. And then you ask them, well, did you, if you were to rob somebody or steal some bananas in the marketplace because you're hungry, you took off running, the police were chasing you, you ran out into the street and got hit by a car. If you didn't repent of that sin and before you died, where would you go? I'd go to hell because I didn't repent of that sin. And really what it boils down to is they're basing their faith in works-based salvation. And it's exciting to see when people really do get saved. But there's five independent Baptist churches there that are preaching the gospel, and now six with the Busabala Trading Center there and the church there. The next slide here is the area of Busabala that we're working in. It's more of a village setting. We're on the outskirts of Kampala, and it's nice because it's slower pace, not like downtown where it's busy, and it's awesome to see this place in Busabala. The next slide there shows the southern bypass going around the south there that they've just started building and almost finished up with. And that has brought in a population of people. About 4 years ago, this area would have been farmland, and this would have been a dirt road. And now that they put in the bypass, the four-lane highway, it's brought in, people have come in, population has come in. In the last 7 months, when they had us locked down with the coronavirus on Busabala Road, which isn't this road, this is the bypass, Busabala kind of intersects, and with the highway, and on that road, in about 3 kilometers in, they've already put 2 total petrol stations, gas stations on that road during the lockdown when no one could be moving except for business trucks and stuff. So the companies are seeing what's going to happen in the future with the roads coming in and tarmacked, and it's just exciting to see. And people are moving in, buying houses, or buying land and building houses, and it's an awesome opportunity. Now the next slide is, this is Tabu in Patrick. This is our truck that we've been using. This is our vehicle that we use every day to day, just getting around town. We use this truck to be able to go start the church in Busabala, visiting other churches. It's our ambulance if we get sick or have an emergency, because it'll take about an hour for the ambulance to get there and back from your home and back to the hospital. It'll take about an hour round trip with the traffic and longer. And this is our go-to vehicle. But this is Tabu and Patrick, and Tabu's helping us plant the church there in Busabala. And there's some of the scripture we've been able to bring from South Africa that you all supported my parents with to Uganda when we went to visit, and being able to pass out and see people get saved and disciple them. Now the next slide on here is one of the houses. As we were going soul winning out in Busabala, it's exciting to see what God is doing. People are getting saved. Now if you look at this picture, this is not mud huts and grass roofs like you'd see in National Geographic. These are homes built with concrete and bricks and metal roofs, and these are nice houses, and the people that are coming in have money, and it's exciting to see, and they're excited to see the gospel come in. I talked with the fellows this last week. As we're on furlough, before I jump into that, we've been helping and partnering with the East Africa Baptist College. There's another missionary across town, and there's a group of about 5 or 6 independent Baptist missionaries that we've come together, and we're helping teaching in the Bible college, training these folks to go soul winning, start churches, and just general ministry, full-time ministry. And on Thursday nights, they go out soul winning. And they've been helping us as well on Thursdays with soul winning in Busabala. And it's exciting to see as they're going soul winning, they're continuing soul winning even though we're here on furlough. One of the seniors that just graduated in December, Brother Ellie, is helping watch the work on Sunday afternoons. He's going out for the Bible study and discipleship. And they're seeing, he told me, he texted me on WhatsApp the other day and said on Thursday they went out and saw 10 folks get saved already this month. It's exciting to see. They're going with the Bible and explaining the gospel from Genesis to the New Testament. And it's not just 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. It's actual folks getting saved and making sure they're saved. Because the Ugandans, when they talk to them as well, they already know the culture, so they know the works-based salvation, so they know how to talk to them. And it's exciting to see. I didn't completely fully understand it till we got there. And to be able now to help with these guys, and they're teaching me, and I'm teaching them, and it's exciting to see folks getting saved just by partnering together with these folks. Last month, they saw 18 or 19 folks get saved. from October last year, or sorry, excuse me, from before the lockdown, because during the lockdown we couldn't do any soul winning or meet as church or nothing for about 7 months. Before that, as they were going out soul winning, they saw over 60 people get saved, just door knocking and giving the gospel out. Lockdown happened, and then we started going soul winning again in October. And from October till we came back in December, we saw over 40 people getting saved, just door knocking and just taking time each week to go soul winning. Now, well, this is, I'm going to get back to my slides here. The next slide here is exciting because this is a church that you all have helped support over the years. This is one of the churches my dad started in the village of Busui, and they were without a pastor, and one of the young men that was helping watch the work there in the community that got saved and was in the church was doing the preaching, and he just needed help training and being trained and taught, and he just waiting for someone to come. The next slide is the inside of the building. And Brother Joseph asked us to come and help train him, to help him, because he said, I feel God wants me to be the pastor of this church. And I said, hey, praise the Lord. We've already got one fellow we're able to help start training to be able to get him to the point of preaching and continue to stay faithful in the church in Busui. This is Busui Independent Baptist Church. And it's exciting because you guys have, this church was planted in 2001, so many years ago. And the Lord, they just went through a trials and tribulation over those years, but God's still faithful, and he's still using the folks there, and they're still getting saved, and people are still hearing the gospel. It's exciting to see. Lord willing, when we get back, we'll be able to start help training Brother Joseph as well in the ministry there. Now, the next slide is exciting as well, because this is one of the containers my dad sent over in 2001 to Uganda, and this was at the work there in Luzira, where my father was for a number of years, and now that work's been turned over to National Man back in 2005 or 2004, And Pastor Vincent has two of these containers my dad sent to Uganda. And I asked him, I said, Brother Vincent, I said, we're going to be shipping containers and scripture and stuff, and we need storage. Can we have one of your containers? He said, oh, yeah, take this one right here on the corner. He said, this one's the better of the two. It's insulated, and all you got to do is just organize it. I said, well, praise the Lord. So we grabbed some of the Bible college students, went out to the property there. As you can see, it was a mess. All these scriptures were from 2001 and before, and it was just, it was completely disorganized. And we had fun organizing it. We lifted it up off of the ground with a crane, or actually two cranes, because they don't do anything easy in Uganda. And they lifted it up, and as they were lifting it up, you'll see on the next picture here, a big old rat was living underneath it. And Pastor Vincent said, that rat, there's a rat that lives underneath it. And so all the guys got ready to hit the rat when it came out, and they went screaming when it came running out. And it was exciting to see and fun times in ministry. And Pastor Vincent ended up killing it, and he threw it over by the wall waiting for the security company across the street to come get it so they could start cooking up for supper. And that's life in Africa and ministry. Now, the next slide on here is of that container as they were lifting it up over our wall and the power lines to get it into our yard, into our compound. And I'm thankful that they didn't knock out the power lines, because if they would have, we would have not had power for at least a couple days while we were trying to get the company to come out and reattach it. And it was a whole day event to get it across town, which took only really about no more than an hour, to getting it to our property and into our yard. We started at about 10 o'clock in the morning and did not get done until about 8 or 9 o'clock at night. It's ministry, and it's fun, and it's enjoyable. Long days, but it's fun. Now, the next slide is the rest of the scripture that's in storage right now as we're in the States, and this is the gospel seed that's waiting to get out to the lost and dying in Busabala, and we're excited to be able to do that. Now, as we're going soul winning, back in October, when the lift what happened with the lockdown, the next slide there is the fellows that we go out soul winning with on a weekly basis. We were able to get back out to Busabala to go soul winning once they opened up churches. And it was exciting to see the people. It was a long lockdown, 7 months without going to church. You could hear it on the internet. You could watch it on live streaming, which is good, but it's not the best. To sit under God's preaching is the best. And it was just very wearying during that time for all of us. So when they opened up churches, we got out to the villages, and people were just hungry for the Bible. So we were able to see the folks get saved. As they got saved, on the next slides, we were starting the discipleship program with them. We were able to meet in a house, a two-room house there, small dwelling in the village of Busabala. And it's exciting to see people. We had 20 folks come in faithfully every Sunday to go through discipleship and have Bible study there and start learning God's Word and grow. And the next slide shows the group of folks that were staying there and or coming to the Bible study. And they had given us this room to use until we found a permanent place or a place to rent. And as the time went on, about 2-3 weeks into it, I said, we need to rent this room so we have it secure, because if someone comes in, they can just rent it and we're stuck. And I said, it's not big enough right now. We're already maxing it out, capacity, but we need some place. So we rented this room. The next slide shows us we're remodeling it and painting it. They were using it as a kitchen, so there was charcoal soot all over the walls. It was a mess, but it was a place God had given us to meet and to have Bible study. And keep praying with us. We're looking for a new place now because we're maxing it out on capacity. And we're not able to grow anymore because folks are just, there's no seating capacity. So the next slide here is one of the ladies. On a Sunday afternoon, we had discipleship and Bible study. And one of the ladies had heard we were doing that. And she had stopped in to visit and heard the gospel, realized she was lost, and got saved. By the time she was done there, we were able to lead her to the Lord. And that was exciting and awesome to see. The next slide is of me preaching. And it just gives you another view of the room. And it's just, it's awesome to see what God's doing. This is right before we came back in December. And the next slide, my wife's able to get involved in the ministry. She's helping with the kids at home, keeping them and doing everything she does at home. But she's also involved in ministry with helping with discipleship and ladies' ministries. One of the other churches across town, Brother Pridgen's ministry with the Bible College, had a ladies' conference. My wife was able to be one of the special speakers for that, and she loves that. That's her cup of tea. And she's excited to be able to get back and start ladies' ministry in Busabala with the ladies that are getting saved. Now, 90% or at least 85% of those folks getting saved are ladies. Because you know how it is. Men, in Uganda, most of the men there drink. I'll just be honest with you. So most of the men on Sunday mornings are probably at the pub or at the local watering hole, if you want to call it that. And most of the ladies are getting saved, so pray we can reach the husbands too. But Jen will have an opportunity to start ladies' ministry full-time there as well. It's exciting to see. Now, the next slide here. Once we got through the discipleship lesson on baptism, we had folks that raised their hands and said, we need to get scripturally baptized. They'd been baptized either as infants in the Catholic Church or before they got saved, they were baptized in the Protestant churches. And they realized that baptism follows salvation. And they said, we haven't been scripturally baptized. So we had 9 folks that decided to get baptized. And that's a big step in Uganda because you're literally leaving your family's religion to do your own thing in their eyes. And it's a big step for those folks to say, yes, I need to be baptized. If it's a Muslim family, the family usually turns their backs on them and they're not part of the family anymore. And it was exciting to see. We were able to baptize, had a service there at our house, and had 40 folks show up to the Bible study at the house. We had a meal catered in locally there, and then we baptized folks. And the next slide shows us baptizing. It was exciting to see those 9 folks that had gotten saved, getting baptized, and following the Lord in believers' baptism. It was so exciting and so much fun. And I tell you, ministry is so fun when you're in it, when you're involved. Next slide there is of the group of folks that got baptized, the 9 folks, and they're all smiling, most of them except for the men. Some of the guys are still learning how to smile. And culturally, back in the day, you would not look at pictures. Like if someone's taking your picture back in the 90s as a kid, you try to take pictures of folks and they sit there, the camera's pointing straight at them, they're looking this way. The other person's standing over here looking this direction. They're not smiling at all. It's the funniest thing to see. But now with Western culture creeping in, it's getting better for pictures, at least. It's a blessing. But those folks got saved and baptized, and as they were waiting for the meal to get ready and be served, you could hear ladies over in the corner talking, like chickens in the chicken coop, just going 90 miles an hour, just clucking away. And what they were saying was, it's good to have an independent Baptist church that's preaching the gospel planted in our village. And it's exciting to see. We haven't officially started the church, but in their eyes, they see it as the Bible says, that they are the church. They're the people that make up the church, and they're excited to see what God's doing. Now, the next slide here is of the group of believers there, and this is the building that we're renting. And I'll end with this slide, because the next slide, I had some more pictures of a building that we were looking at renting, and it fell through. But we're praying that God would give us a place to meet. We need a bigger location. in Busabala, there are not a lot of houses because people are buying the land and building their own houses. So you don't have a lot of rental space. If you do, they're just single room dwellings or two room dwellings that they're using for shops or small homes. And there's just not enough space. If the Lord would give us this property, it would be awesome. But this fellow, we've tried to contact him, got in touch with him, and the folks there were talking with him about remodeling that building, and then got so far and he just stopped communication with us. So pray that God will give us a bigger place. And we're looking at this building here. It's about a 20 or 30 by 60 foot building. And we were looking at remodeling it. It cost us about $10,000 to completely remodel that and get it up to standard and be able to start meeting there. And just continue to pray God will give us a bigger place. There's some options. We've got stuff like this. We've also got just empty plots where we can rent a tent or put up a temporary building. There's so much land out there. I mean, the opportunities are endless. And to buy this 60 by 100 foot plot will cost us, this one's right here on the main road, which in the next few years will be tarmacked, and it'll be exciting to see. I mean, to have a church right on the main road will be awesome. But if God doesn't give us this plot, we could buy other plots like this for about $40,000 or so. And just pray God continues to take care of our needs and provide for us in that respect. And it's just wonderful to be here with you all, share our ministry, what God's called us to do. And God's called us to plant churches all over Kampala. And as the Lord continues to lead, this will be our first church plant. And we'll move on to the next and continue to see how God leads in the capital city of Kampala. Now, are there any questions about the ministry there? Or if you think of anything about my dad's ministry that I might be able to answer, I'd love to field those from the pulpit here. Any questions at all about the ministry there in Uganda? Yes, sir. The largest religious group in Uganda is the Catholics. If you look at the statistics, there's about 40 or 51% Catholic, but not all of them would go to church. They would just be Catholic by name because that's what their parents were. That's the largest. Then you've got the Presbyterians and the other offshoots of the Catholic Church are there. Everything's there. You've got Jehovah's Witness. You've got Mormons. I mean, every religion under the sun is in Uganda. And it's right now a hot spot for non-denominational missions. You'll have folks that come in that are just with like Grace Community Church or Grace Church, and they take mission trips there. The government enjoys missionaries and groups coming in. I think number one, because it brings in money, and their biggest income of money in Uganda is through tourism. So it helps. The government loves missionaries coming in, but that gives us everybody. I mean, everybody's thinking comes under the sun, comes to Uganda, and it's problematic in some areas, but when you have the truth and you can defend it properly and adequately and show the folks, it's awesome to see because they realize the light comes on and they see salvation, they see God, and they get saved. One of the ladies that helped us rent that room, her name's Susan. She got saved earlier on, and she was the one that watches that property there. She said, "Here, use this room until we find a place." Well, once we came back on furlough, I don't know if it's because the white man in her eyes left and the money left. I don't know. But she started going back to her old church. And her old pastor was convincing her that we were preaching a false gospel because we were preaching that you cannot lose your salvation. Her old church was preaching you can lose your salvation. And he had convinced her that we were preaching another gospel. And she's caused so much trouble trying to get people to stay away because, in her eyes, we're preaching the wrong gospel. But it's just, I told the guys there, I said, there's going to be folks that get saved, and that's going to happen. We just have to stay faithful and just continue to adequately explain salvation and the doctrine of the Bible to folks. And so that's how we do it. It's exciting. Any other questions? Did I answer your question, brother? All righty. Any other questions? It's exciting. I mean, it's a ripe harvest field there in Uganda. And we'd love for y'all to come over and visit us and send your pastor. He'd love to come too, whether he knows it or not. He'd love to. We'll feed him some of that rat in the village. I told the folks, I said, I won't eat a city rat because there's too much junk in the city they can get into. But take me to the village where there's just sugarcane fields or crops. I said, I'll try rat if they cook it properly. But we'd love to do that. We've got some churches lined up for missions trips here in the near future, and it's exciting to see. We're heading back in July, and God's taking care of our needs. It's exciting to see. Our truck had some issues and some trouble, when we were going to the airport coming this way and end up having to rebuild that engine. And the mechanic said it'd be $4,000. And I said, well, praise the Lord, we'll have a new engine in the truck. And I said, God, this is your vehicle. This is your truck. You've given us the money through churches and our support coming in to buy it. I said, if I can say it this way, I said, God, it's on you now. It's your problem. This is your truck. It's not mine. And just began praying, asking the Lord to give us the money to rebuild the engine. I didn't push it out in prayer letters much just because we were coming back on furlough and there's other projects we're doing with Bible projects to buy Bibles and continue in ministry. And God just, over the course of being here in the last, three, 4 months, God's brought in all $4,000. The truck's been rebuilt, engine's been rebuilt and running strong and using up way too much diesel. And it's exciting, though. God's taking care of our needs. And we've had churches and folks partner with us to buy Bibles. As we're doing discipleship, I mean, you have to have God's Word to be able to do discipleship, whether it's a John and Romans or whether it's a whole Bible or a New Testament. You have to have God's Word to show folks. And so as we're doing this, we're raising money for Bibles. We can get some from Bearing Precious Seed, from my parents. And right now we're also able to get, I don't know if I've got it back there on the table, but good King James Bibles that are printed in Korea with a Uganda Bible Society. They're about this size right here between my fingers. And it's a good quality Bible that's bound and sewn. I mean, it's exciting to see for about $5 a piece we can get good Bibles. And as we see folks get saved, as they're coming to discipleship, a lot of times folks will get saved and get a Bible, and then they'll run off someplace else. Or they'll find out that the church here in Busabala is giving out free Bibles, so they'll just come on a Sunday to get a free Bible, because everybody uses the King James Bible about in Uganda. And so they'll just show up and take a Bible just to get a Bible. So what we're doing with we'll give out Bibles and New Testaments and things in John and Romans, because those are freely given, the Gospels in them, and people can get saved. But when they're doing discipleship, we're going to be giving them a quality Bible so they can sit down, and we're going to make sure the folks are coming. Because we got some friends in the other ministry with Brother Pridgen. I've seen some of their modeling on how they're doing discipleship there. And it's a lot like what I was taught in Bible college. We're not just letting folks get saved and go. Because the biggest increase in other churches, like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witness, is saved Baptists that haven't gotten grounded, and they come in and steal them away. And that's what happens. They come in, they say, there's another gospel. They have their stories and their way of saying it. And so what we're doing is we're making sure they're coming for discipleship, and we're staying in touch with them, calling them, saying, hey, we're having discipleship today. You coming? Yeah. And we're not just letting them go, because they're God's children. They're saved. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we got to make sure they get grounded in God's word. And they're the church. It's exciting to see. So pray God will continue providing for that. If the Lord allowed, I'd like to get about 500 of those Bibles. If you can do the math, that's great. I can't do it in my head right now. I can do it later and write it down. But we're praying about getting about 500 of those, buying 500 of those Bibles and just being able to hit it hard, and then also using some of the scripture in other church plants and stuff as well. So if there's no other questions, I just want to encourage y'all to pray for one another. Look at a couple verses with me real quick. We've got about 10 minutes, maybe 15 left in 2 Thessalonians. And it's exciting to see what God's doing in Uganda. Amen? At least half of you are excited. It's exciting to see what God's doing in the world. Amen? It's been a crazy year, has it not? How many of you on here have had the virus? I shouldn't put my hand up. I haven't had it that I know of. How many of y'all have had the shot already? Anybody? Alrighty. That's all right. My in-laws have, folks have. I know there's a lot of differing opinions about it. And I'll just say, like one of our good friends in our home church, Miss Jan, she's about 193 years old. She's the sweetest lady. She is staying faithful, Lord. She just went through her last bout of cancer. With chemotherapy, had her last round of treatment. And she did the Bible thing. She said, I've been seeing my doctors are wanting me to get this shot, and I'm just not sure about it. So she said, I am praying and asking God to show me what he wants me to do. And she said, God clearly showed me in my devotions not to get the shot. And she said, if God takes me and I get the virus down the road, then I'm just taking it as that's God's will that he wanted me to go at that time. So follow what God leads you to do. If God wants you to, go for it. If he doesn't want you to, don't do it. Same thing with masks. If God wants you to wear one, go for it. If not, don't do it. It's your decision. But it's been a crazy year. It's been a crazy, and it just all points to the end times, what's coming next. I mean, I say this all the time. We're closer than we've ever been to the second coming. The Apostle Paul thought it. We think it. And if you think of it logically and think through it, literally, we're closer today than we were yesterday because we're closer. So it's a true saying, and it's going to happen at any moment. And it's just all, I believe, point to that time. But don't fret, don't doubt, don't worry. If you read Revelation, you can see what's coming. You can expect it to happen. But God's called us to be faithful. One of the areas we can stay faithful in is praying for one another. Praying for one another. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. The Apostle Paul is writing to these believers in Thessalonica, and he challenges them to pray for him. He challenges the people and the believers, if you will, the church in Thessalonica, to pray for him. He was their missionary. I'm not quite sure. I think he might have started this church in Thessalonica. If he did, he was their pastor. You can pray for your missionaries. You can pray for your pastors. If nothing else, look at verse number 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. The first thing I see this morning is we are the people of prayer. We are the people of prayer. When he was preaching this and telling these folks to pray for him, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're the family of God. We're brothers and sisters. You can call me the long lost cousin you've never seen until today, because I'm saved, you're saved, and we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're the family of Christ. We're the family of God. We can pray for our pastor. We can pray for our missionaries. We can pray for one another in the church. And at this point in ministry, and this point at Branch Hill Baptist Church, y'all need to be praying for one another like never before. You need to be praying for your missionaries, your support, the missionaries that you don't support but have come through the church and you've got their prayer cards at home. Pray for them because, number one, we're the people of prayer. Verse number 1, finally, brethren, I've gotten ahead of myself. As you can see, I can't multitask. My mind's going one way and my mouth's going the other, and the scripture's right here, and I haven't even read scripture. Look at the scripture here this morning. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Verse number 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have the confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. The end of verse number 5 there sums it all up. And really what we are to be doing as believers in this last day, patiently waiting for Christ. As we're waiting for Christ, he says, number 1 there, we're people of prayer. We need to be praying for each other. Our prayers reach into the throne room of God this morning as we pray. Think about it. Before you got saved, the Bible says you're at enmity with God. You were literally the enemy of God in heaven. You were the opposite side of the battle. Could you, in that state, walk into the throne room and approach the king if you're the enemy of God? No. What would have happened if you would have walked into the throne room of God? Just, you know, I think I'm a lot younger than most of y'all in here. At least I look like it if I don't have a beard. But turn on your mind like you did as a kid and imagine for a second. If you are the enemy of God, and you walk into God's throne room, what's going to happen? You're going to be thrown into the dungeon. You're going to be thrown straight into jail. You're the enemy. You're the opposition. And you're not going to be able to stand before the king. You're just going to be thrown straight into the dungeon. There's no innocent until proven guilty. There's nothing. You're just straight to the dungeon, as the kid's storybook and movie says, off with their head. The queen would say, off with their head. We were the enemy of God. But now that we've gotten saved, our soul has been purchased by the blood of Christ, and we are now the child of God. Yesterday, we were the enemy of God. Today, we're the child of God. We can walk straight into that throne room and interrupt the king and say, Dad, I've got something to ask you. I got something to tell you. I need your help. Your brother, your children, my brothers and sisters over here need some help. And we can bring the prayers and the communication to God the Father in heaven. Praise the Lord that Christ is the intercessor. He takes the prayers to God the Father for us. But we're the people of prayer this morning. And it should encourage us. The folks outside of these walls that are not saved, the religions, the churches. On the way up last night, we passed on, 435 there for, what's the circle around Cincinnati? 275. Okay, I can't remember. I got Google that tells me where to go. But as we're coming up, what little town was it in that we were coming through? And there's a big old Muslim mosque sitting right there on the left-hand side. Where? Westchester. As those folks are praying five times a day, be thankful that they are not any closer than they are already today. We had to leave our house in Uganda because the Muslims across the street, the mosque, was praying five times a day in the morning, afternoon, and night. And it sounded like it was right in our living room. And I tell you what, it was, it's just pure evil. Satanic is what it is. Be thankful that they're not more Muslims here in America that we can see, and that they're not proclaiming that at their five times a day. But as they pray, you realize their prayers don't reach any farther than the ceiling. Their prayers don't reach ears of a God that's alive and all powerful. Their prayers are just prayers. They're just words. I mean, just listen to them. Listen to anybody that's not saved. When they pray, it's like they're just kind of going on and on. That's not really a heartfelt prayer. I mean, it's amazing. Just think about it. The people of prayer. We can pray for one another. God will bless if we'll pray for one another. We're the people of prayer. Number two, there's a purpose to our prayer. Look at verse number two. In that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. It's a purpose to our prayer when we pray for one another. A prayer of deliverance, a prayer of safety, a prayer from keeping your missionaries, your pastor, your brothers and sisters in Christ away from these, deliverance from these wicked and evil men and unreasonable men. In the end of the verse number two, it says, for all men have not faith. That's really the reason they're wicked. That's really the reason that they are unreasonable, because they're not saved. They don't have faith in God. Their faith is not, it's just, they have not faith, the Bible says. That's why we send missionaries. That's why we go door knocking. That's why we tell others about Christ, because they don't have faith in God, and they need to have faith in God. And we see that there's a purpose to our prayer. We're the people of prayer. There's a purpose to our prayer. And thirdly, this morning, there's a potential to your prayers. As we patiently wait for God and the second coming and the rest of eternity, we can do that through and realize that we have a potential when we pray. Now, the potential goes both ways. There's a potential to pray when we pray, and there's a potential when we don't pray. Look at verse number five here with me. Or actually, look at verse number four, because it's so good. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. The first thing I notice here in verse number four is our confidence isn't in you praying for me on the mission field. If there's a situation or something that's happening in your life, and you ask folks to pray for you, your confidence isn't in this person praying for you to answer that prayer. Your confidence should be in the Lord. that he's going to direct folks' hearts in the church to pray for one another. So that way, when you're in a time of need, God touches their hearts, they pray for you, and God answers that prayer and sees you through that situation with whatever amount of grace and mercy he needs to give you. But the question this morning is, in the potential of prayer, is can God reach down and touch your heart to pray for one another? Can God reach down and touch your heart, as the scripture says in verse number 5, and the Lord direct your heart? Can God, does he have the phone number to your heart this morning? I still remember in the scripture here, it says in the New Testament that if I regard iniquity in my heart, he won't hear me. If I have sin within my life, he's not going to hear my prayer. The song, the hymn says, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Keep the way clear. Keep the way clear. If we have sin in our lives, I'll be blunt with you all this morning. If there's sin in your lives, your prayer life's not going to be adequate enough. Because God cannot reach down and touch or direct your heart into praying for one another. I'll tell you this quick story, and I might have said it here before, I don't remember. I should keep better track of what illustrations and sermons I preach at places, but if not, if you heard the story, just say amen. If you haven't, praise the Lord, and if you've forgotten, it's all right. I forget everything too. But as a kid, we were in Uganda the first year in 1995, or 93. Went to Kenya in 1990 to 93, then 94 to 2000, and what was it, 4, we were in Uganda. So it would have been 1994, Christmas time. We moved into a home and into a house there in Uganda, and it was a secure home, but it only had a wall on 3 sides instead of the 4th side. And we had the opportunity to move there. My dad moved in, and the thieves sat outside our gate waiting for us to rob us because of that open opportunity. And as a kid, we went to bed one night. They poisoned the dogs. They threw meat over the wall, and the dogs got sick, and the night guard came to my dad's door and knocked on the window and said, Pastor Jeff, the dogs are poisoned. And my dad said, wow, I got to, you know, get my dogs to the vet. It's 11 o'clock at night, you know, and not too late. And so my dad grabbed the dogs and put them in the van and headed out the front gate. As he's waiting for Frank, our night guard, to shut the gate behind him, some men walked out from the bushes with AK-47s and stuck them in his face and said, get back inside. And they took my dad back inside. My dad wanted to deal with them through the window, and they said, no, we're going inside the house. And they held us at gunpoint for 4 to 5 hours the rest of that night, wanting gold and U.S. dollars. And as they were robbing us and demanding this, and we didn't have gold, and we didn't have U.S. dollars. My dad had just paid the rent for the house like 3 days before, and we had nothing. They got frustrated and hit my mom upside the head with a pistol, and she fell onto the bed and then just started unloading everything from the dresser and the cabinets and everything and just saying, we don't have anything. And they saw that we didn't, and they left. And they took some stereos and radios and stuff like that. But after that was all done, it was a traumatic time. I mean, it's just, you sit with a man with 6 men in your home with guns, and it changes you a little bit. Well, we went on with life, and a few weeks later, I think it was, another Southern Baptist missionary was in town, and they stopped in to talk to my parents, and they said, we've been through situations like that before. See, in the early days, there was us and another missionary across town, and the other missionary across town didn't have a good relationship with my dad. They didn't like my mom and dad much for some reason, so it was just us. And this Southern Baptist missionary came through and said, hey, we're here doing the work of the Lord, and we're praying for you. We've gone through that situation before, being robbed. And they said, my dad told them what happened, and they said, wow, the thieves weren't wearing masks? And my dad said, no. They said, wow, you guys are lucky. And the key is, they said, somebody must have been praying for you. They said, because usually if they don't have masks on, they'll rob you. Then they'll murder you at the end of the night because you can identify them. It's just the way it goes. You see people walking down the street or in the market the next day, say, hey, you robbed me. And he takes off running last night, and he takes off running. The whole community, the whole market will jump up and run after him, beat him and kill him in the street. Just the way it was in the 90s in Uganda. And then about 4 years later or so, we come back on furlough and there was churches praying for us. And one of the churches said, "Brother Jeff, remember how you got robbed in Uganda those 4 years ago?" He said, "We were praying for you guys at that same moment you're being robbed and in that situation." He said, I did the math and I said, with the time difference, he said, it was the exact time you were being robbed. We were kneeling at the altar in the pews, having a prayer meeting, calling your name out to the Lord, asking him to protect you and take care of you. You see, if God can't get a hold of your hearts and pray for one another, the blessing won't ever come. I don't know if those folks weren't able to communicate as well with God in heaven, I don't know if I'd be standing here today. Because it's plain to me and clear in Scripture, the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. If God can't get a hold of your heart, number one, the situation might not go as it needs to go or should go. You won't get the blessing of seeing God work through you in your personal life if your heart's not clean and God can't get a hold of your heart. Don't forget to pray for one another, especially in this day and age we're living in. It's only going to get worse until it gets better when the trumpet sounds. But God, and through the direction of the Holy Spirit and the Apostle Paul, as they're writing this scripture, he says, remember to pray for one another. Pray for us. Because number one, we're the people of prayer. Our prayers can move mountains. It's amazing to see what happens when it does. Don't forget to pray for each other because there's a purpose when we do pray. There's a prayer for deliverance, a prayer for safety, a prayer for help from God in heaven. And then thirdly, don't forget, as you pray for one another, there's a potential when you do pray. And there's a potential when you don't pray. Thank you so much for praying for us over the years and praying for us even as we're traveling on furlough and back in the States. Please don't stop. God's going to have to keep working miracles and doing things in Uganda and the States here, and it's only going to happen through us praying for one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you now. We thank you, Lord, for this church. Lord, we thank you for what they've done through missions, through the time that they've been in existence. Lord, continue to use them and outreach for missions here in the States and soul winning. Lord, continue to use them in missions and outreach around the world. Bless them now as they're going through different situations and as we're all going through situations in life. We'll give you all the honor and the glory and the praise for what you'll do in and through us. In your name we do pray.